Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, July 24, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. As we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're right at the end in a very powerful paragraph. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, en Christo, a very technical phrase in the Koine Greek that describes current positional truth as a result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. And then that brought us to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 21. And in this last paragraph, we have our royal ambassadorship and the ministry of reconciliation. So far, we've exegeted verses 18 to 20, which sounds like this. Now all of these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. That is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself. He removed the barrier. Christ removed the barrier on the cross between God and man so that everyone now potentially can have eternal salvation. So again, that is, God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. So, verse 20, therefore, now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us. That's the convicting ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So we request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In eternity past, God the Father designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. While God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, God the Son, with great, genuine humility, agreed willingly to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. This resulted in the greatest miracle that mankind will ever see. That very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, was imputed with the personal sins of all of mankind, and then he was judged for the world's sins. Christ's salvation work on the cross makes possible mankind's reconciliation to God. Because Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross, he made reconciliation possible. By faith in Jesus Christ and his reconciling work on the cross, the believer passes from God's wrath to God's blessing, and from spiritual death to spiritual life. The word for world, cosmos, is used in our verse for all of mankind, every member of the human race, which emphasizes the doctrine of unlimited atonement. 1 John 2:2. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he just didn't pay for the penalties of those who were going to believe in him. He paid the penalty of the sins of every member of true humanity once and for all by his work on the cross. Unlimited atonement. The one who planned Operation Grace, the cross, God the Father, is the same one who planned your life on this earth as a believer. He is the same one who designed the unique spiritual life of the church age. He is the same one who gave us our two royal commissions. Unique to the church age, every church age believer has been given a commission as a royal priest representing himself to God and a royal ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And he is the same one who planned for us the ministry of reconciliation. And that means we are all in full-time Christian service. And that brought us to the doctrine of ambassadorship. And so far in this doctrine, we have studied the first 5 points. Point one was definition and description. An ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state or of royalty sent to another state to represent his king or his country. By analogy, we are spiritual aristocracy as members of the royal family of God, and Christ is the king who has sent us to a foreign country. That is the cosmic world. At salvation, every believer enters the royal family of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, he becomes a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Ambassadorship stems from being in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each church age believer is royal family of God, representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords during our life on this earth. Two royal commissions are given to the church age believer at salvation: the royal priesthood and the royal ambassadorship. We represent ourselves before God, our royal priesthood, and we represent God before man, our royal ambassadorship. Ambassadorship emphasizes that every church age believer is in full-time Christian service. Ambassadorship is the fulfillment of the imperatives of divine good production found in the Word of God, such as Ephesians 2:10. That brought us to point two, the profile of the ambassador. An ambassador does not appoint himself, and we are appointed by God. At the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, God also gives us the power and the ability to handle the job, His grace and His power. The ambassador does not support himself, and the church age believer as an ambassador for Christ is supported by logistical grace that comes down that grace pipeline. At the moment you place your faith in Christ, God the Father imputes to each one of us His righteousness, establishing a grace pipeline with the justice of God on one end, the imputed righteousness of God on the other end, and down that grace pipeline comes logistical grace, blessing and support. Logistical grace gives us temporal security. It keeps us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. The ambassador's instructions are always in written form so that he knows exactly what he should do and what he should say. We have the policies, the problem-solving devices, the instructions, the principles, the doctrines, the concepts, all given to us in the God-breathed scriptures. The ambassador does not belong to the country to which he is sent. We belong to heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. The ambassador does not live in the foreign country for his own personal interest. We live here on this earth solely to serve in the interest of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we subordinate all personal interest to the function of our ambassadorship and our royal priesthood. The ambassador does not treat any insult to himself as personal. And this is the royal ambassador's function under virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind. And that means the ambassador tolerate all others and hold no grudges. When you are insulted, when you are treated unfairly or ridiculed, you have the great honor and integrity of impersonal love for all mankind. You have the great spiritual strength and grace righteousness to leave the matter in the Lord's hands. When an ambassador is recalled, his recall is tantamount to a declaration of war. This is analogous to the rapture. We are recalled at the rapture, and the tribulation is analogous to the period of war. And that brought us to point three. The royal ambassadorship is specialized and intensified in the gift of pastor-teacher. Now, all communication gifts in the pre-canon period of the church age, there were some temporary spiritual gifts, such as apostleship. That was a temporary spiritual gift. There's never been an apostle since the last one was the Apostle John. And when he died on the Isle of Patmos after writing Revelation, that was it. There's never been an apostle since then. That was a special gift for the writing of the New Testament scriptures. Today we have communication gifts of evangelist and pastor teacher, and they are critical and specialized functions of the royal ambassadorship because they communicate the grace and truth of the Word of God day after day after day after day. Point four, we studied that the royal ambassadorship is related to evangelism, and that's our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. This is the function of every believer, every church age believer who witnesses and is the special function of the believer who has the gift of evangelism. There are a few that have the gift of evangelism, but we all, as an ambassador for Christ, are to witness for Jesus Christ. Every church age believer is a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every church age believer is in full-time Christian service. We all have the privilege and the responsibility of giving the grace gospel to a lost and dying world. We are not to witness only through our life, but also through our lips. That is the communication of the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. And then point five, our royal ambassadorship mandates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind. We studied that in Romans 12, 9 to 21. You see, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. As you fulfill your royal priesthood, you develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And these are the great motivational virtues that motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship to witness for Christ with impersonal love for all. Everything the believer does in life becomes a part of his MO as a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every believer, therefore, makes a pulpit out of his circumstances in every area of his life. Your ambassadorship is basically made up of two factors, how you live and what you say, the communication of the grace gospel. In private, you function under your royal priesthood. In public, you function under your royal ambassadorship. That brings us to point six. Point six, your royal ambassadorship is related to the angelic conflict. Your royal ambassadorship is related to the angelic conflict. Let's amplify that. One, the church age believer is not only an ambassador to mankind, but also to angels as well. The church age believer is not only an ambassador to mankind, but also to angels as well. Two, you are a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ, and you are being watched by angels right now. Now you all have a guardian angel that's watching, but there are angels that the Bible says bending their neck, watching, learning. And they're learning from the winner believer, the one who has not only believed in Christ, but grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, who has advanced to spiritual maturity, who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and they are learning from you, every single one of you, as you fulfill your ambassadorship. So you are a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ being watched by angels right now. Three, angels observed our Lord. angels were observing our Lord. 1 Timothy 3:16. Turn over to 1 Timothy 3:16. So angels were observing our Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness, Elsebea, technical term for the spiritual life. Great is the mystery of godliness, the spiritual life. He who was revealed in the flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, was vindicated by the Spirit, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Angels were observing our Lord Jesus Christ from the incarnation and virgin birth to the resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father. Point four, angels observe and rejoice over one person who believes in Jesus Christ. There's a celebration that goes on in heaven every time one person believes in Jesus Christ. A celebration by the angels. They're watching. They're watching you fulfill your ambassadorship or fail to fulfill it. When you do fulfill your ambassadorship and present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and one of those people you give the grace gospel to believes in Christ, there's a celebration that goes on. Celebration in heaven. Turn over to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll start at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners. Now the sinners are prostitutes. Now the tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, were all gathering around to hear him, Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Christ's day, who rejected Jesus Christ, for the most part, they did not believe in Christ. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes prostitutes and eats with them." And then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. Who's doing the rejoicing? Angels doing the rejoicing. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, changes his thinking about Jesus Christ and believes in him, than over 99 self-righteous persons who do not, they think they do not need to repent. And this, he's talking about the self-righteous Pharisees who rejected Jesus Christ, and therefore they don't think that they need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. He was directing this directly to them. They're the ones that offered the problem. Verse 8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? I tell you, we do that at our house. Back and forth till we find that penny that fell down there. And search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And then Jesus, in teaching, declares, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The angels are watching us. You are an ambassador for Christ, a royal ambassador, to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And when, as you fulfill that royal ambassadorship and present the grace gospel to those people in your periphery, and if you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, God will open the doors. He will open the doors for you everywhere you go, give you opportunities. And you'll know, you will know immediately when God opens that door. And always be ready to fulfill your ambassadorship. Present that good news of the grace gospel. And when that individual, and some will believe in Christ, some will not, or they won't even, you won't know whether they have or not. But when one believes in Christ, the angels are watching that. They're watching you every moment of every day. They're watching you. The angels are watching. Your ambassadorship is related to the angelic conflict. So angels observe and rejoice over one person who believes in Jesus Christ. Luke 15, 1 to 10. 5. Fallen angels are organized, very organized under their leader, the devil, to oppose your ambassadorship and to oppose your living the spiritual life. And that's in Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. And this armor of God goes on in your soul, not on your body, goes on in your soul. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the strategies of the devil. Satan is the current ruler of planet Earth. He has lots and lots of strategies to try to make you a casualty in the angelic conflict. But if you put on the full armor of God in your soul, then you will not be a casualty to these strategies. So that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world-ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Subpoint 6. The fact that angels are watching you as an ambassador is found in several passages. First of all, first, turn over to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. And the Apostle Paul is presenting this. And he is presenting, he is an apostle. He wrote much of the New Testament scriptures. The human author, God the Holy Spirit, is the author of all scripture. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels, as well as to men. And then turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, this is the church universal, the every believer in the church age. His intent was that now, through the church, through you, you're the church. This is not the local church, this is the church universal. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruling angels and the angels in authority in the heavenly realms. Through you, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruling angels, the angels in authority in the heavenly realms. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5:21. First Timothy 5:21. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and in the sight of the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. In the sight of the elect angels. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Starting at verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, they searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have proclaimed the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even the angels long to look into these things. So your royal ambassadorship is related to the angelic conflict. Right now when we have class in here, this place is filled with angels. It's filled with angels. And everywhere you go, you got your guardian angel with you, but there are angels watching you. There are elect angels watching you. There are fallen angels trying to get you to become a casualty. You are being observed by angels all the time. Point 7. The concept of the believer ambassador. The concept of the believer ambassador. One, while the royal priesthood of the believer emphasizes grace perspicacity, what you're doing right now. Right now, you're utilizing your royal priesthood. You're representing yourself before God to learn the Word of God, to learn the mind of Christ, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So while the royal priesthood of the believer emphasizes grace, perspicacity, growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the royal ambassadorship of the believer emphasizes divine good production of the spiritual life. So while your royal priesthood of the believer emphasizes grace, perspicacity, growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, your royal ambassadorship emphasizes divine good production of the spiritual life, presenting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. As you learn to distinguish between your priesthood and your ambassadorship, you will learn to distinguish between the function of each. Subpoint two. Your royal priesthood is the means to attain spiritual maturity. That's how you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. From babyhood to adolescence to spiritual maturity. And fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So your royal priesthood is the means to attain spiritual maturity. Experiential sanctification. From babyhood to maturity. Three, your royal ambassadorship is for the purpose of maximum divine good production, representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your royal ambassadorship is for the purpose of maximum divine good production, representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Subpoint four. Since maximum divine good production involves the attainment of spiritual maturity, it's obvious that the fulfillment of your royal priesthood must precede the fulfillment of your royal ambassadorship. Since maximum divine good production involves the attainment of spiritual maturity, it is obvious that the fulfillment of your royal priesthood must precede the fulfillment of your royal ambassadorship. Five, to fulfill your royal ambassadorship, you must live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You must fulfill the mandates given to you in the Word of God. The mandate of Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. The mandate of Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. The mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Keep on growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then you will execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Not your plan, will, and purpose for your life. A lot of difference. One is the best plan ever, and the other one is doomed to failure. Six, the filling of the Spirit is an absolute necessity in the function of the royal ambassador. You must be empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That's the divine power to carry out your, not, it's the divine power to live the unique spiritual life. The spiritual life that God's given us in the church age is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the power of God the Holy Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit. And the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have divine power. The only power that can live this unique spiritual life is divine power. So the filling of the Spirit is an absolute necessity in the function of the royal ambassador. 7. Any Christian service or works without the filling of the Spirit is dead works. It's human good, dead works. It's energy of the flesh. And as Paul says in Romans 8:8, those controlled by the sin nature, the flesh, cannot please God. It's impossible to please God when you are living your life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature. 8. As a royal ambassador, every believer is in full-time Christian service. Every believer is in full-time Christian service. Nine, the Lord uses you as a royal ambassador in everything you do. Everything you do, wherever you go. Some of you say, what if I go to the casino? Well, what if you do go to the casino? If you go there, you better win. What if you go to the casino? Now, some of you, this is the only thing you'll get tonight. You're kind of looking here. I went to a casino. I went to a blackjack table. And I played blackjack. And I'm sitting there, and the dealer wanted to know, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor of a church. And there was a guy sitting next to me. You're a pastor of a church? I said, yes. He said, I'm a deacon in a church. And if my pastor knew I was here playing this, I wouldn't be a deacon anymore. I said, well, come on over to our church. And I gave her the gospel. And she believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior right there. And then she came here. She came here to learn the Word of God. And she brought her dog with her. I don't know what we got about it. This is the church that has a lot of Christian dogs that show up. She brought her dog, and when I went back to her again, she'd tell everybody at the table, this guy, he's a priest. And, you know, I didn't say anything because I'm a royal priest. I'm a royal priest, and you're a royal priest, and represent myself before God, and a royal ambassador representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you might be on vacation. And just having a great time on vacation. But you see, if you have been living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, if you've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, that is like a spotlight to all the people around you. They see you have something they don't have. And I've taken most of the people in this church on hunting. I'm their guide. I'm their hunting guide. And gone up hunting. And we were at a place that had hot springs. And we were in the hot springs and having a great time, and some people were there, and they came up to say, what do you guys have? you guys have something that we don't have. And it shows. I said, well, we're Christians. We have believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when you grow up in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that just manifests itself. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Against these things, there's no law. And that's being manifested out more and more and more. And we gave them the gospel. And they were up there. It was in a little place, campground, hot spring. And they wanted to know, what do you guys have? You have something that we don't have, but we sure would like to have what you have. Wherever you go. So the Lord uses you as a royal ambassador in everything you do, wherever you go. And that means in business. That means in professions. That means in home life. That means in academic life. When I was at Washington State University, and I had a great pastor there, and Bethany Bible Church, I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ under Pastor Breckel. And as I did, I was in these different classes on campus. And in one of the classes, it was actually a professor teaching about the Bible, but he was an unbeliever. He was an unbeliever teaching about the Bible. And he was teaching false doctrine. He was saying, well, this isn't true, and this isn't true, and this isn't true. And I said, well, that isn't going to happen. So I raised my hand and I said, no, I said, actually, the Bible says this, and this is true. And I kept raising my hand and raising my hand. Pretty soon he says, okay, there are two professors in this class. I'm one, and Mr. Olson here is the second one. So I will teach the class, but I'll give the last 15 minutes to Mr. Olson, and he can have his rebuttal. All semester. I got, at the end, last 15 minutes, I got to give my rebuttal. And in that class, there were a lot of Christians. And when, after my rebuttal, I'm walking out, they're all coming up to me, Dick, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. And you're doing a fantastic job. This is so great. This is fantastic. So here I got to fulfill my royal ambassadorship in a college class at Washington State University before an unbeliever who was desecrating the Word of God. And it was very fun. Then I was in the honors program at Washington State University. And my last year, I had a class where it was just one assignment. You do a term paper. You have a whole semester to do a term paper. You'll present that term paper at the end of the semester. I did a term paper on the idea of progress. And at the end, you stand up in front of the class and give your paper. And as I read that term paper, I said, oh, there's a lot of people who think we're getting better and better in the world and in the nation. Everything's getting better. We got greater technology. We got greater computers. We got greater this and greater that. And I said, but there's wars and rumors of wars all over planet Earth. God says in His Word that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the only hope that we have, the only hope that this world has, is Jesus Christ. That was I'm not going to give you the whole hour term paper. My professor got up, came up and stood alongside of me. His face was beet red. He said, "I agree with everything that Mr. Olson gave in his paper. I believe in it, all of it." And then he dismissed class and they left. And then he turned to me and he says, "If you need somebody to write a recommendation for you for graduate school, I'd be glad to fill that recommendation." I said, "Well, I do need someone. I want to attend Dallas Theological Seminary for graduate school." And he says, "I would be honored to write your recommendation." I said, "Do it." So he wrote one of the recommendations. Everywhere you go, whether it's in school, whether it's in business, professions, local churches, you can be on a vacation. You fulfill your royal ambassador and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. When you're on vacation, in times of R&R, or when you're in the military, or whether you're in labor or management, whatever it is, the Lord uses you as a royal ambassador in everything you do, wherever you go. Subpoint 10. Every believer is in the plan of God and lives his life under the principle of full-time Christian service. Every believer is in the plan of God and lives his life under the principle of full-time Christian service. 11. The vocation of every believer is representing Jesus Christ as His royal ambassador. The vocation of every believer is representing Jesus Christ as His royal ambassador. And the Apostle Paul, well, he was an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Even when he was in prison. Turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul declares, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." He's in prison. But he's an ambassador in prison. "Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, just as I should." That brings us to point 8. The prerequisite for the function of the royal ambassadorship. The prerequisite for the function of the royal ambassadorship. First prerequisite, you have to be a believer. shouldn't be that hard to figure that out. You have to be saved. You must be a believer in Jesus Christ. Salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That has to be there first. There is no appointment to such ambassadorship until the person has believed in Jesus Christ. Therefore, at salvation, faith in Christ, the believer becomes a member of the royal family of God, a royal ambassador through the baptism of the Spirit. The second prerequisite, the royal ambassador must operate by divine power, not human energy of the flesh, but the filling of the Spirit. The royal ambassador must operate by divine power, not the sin nature and energy of the flesh, but the power of God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. I know you have keep on being filled with the Spirit, but the word is plerao. Plerao was used for wind, filling a sail of a ship and empowering the ship through the water. That's how it's used. So the wind would fill the sails of a ship and empower. That was the power that drove the ship through the water. So when it says keep on being filled with the Spirit, keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit, and not the energy of the flesh. So the royal ambassador must operate by divine power, the filling of the Spirit. And third, therefore, a third prerequisite, the royal ambassador must have maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart for his ambassadorship to function to the maximum. God wants you to grow up, first of all, fulfill your royal priesthood, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, and then your royal ambassadorship will fulfill to the maximum. So, in summary, royal ambassadorship demands salvation, demands the filling of the Spirit, to be empowered by God the Holy Spirit, and to have maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Now, on the negative side, your royal ambassadorship cannot function when you are living out of fellowship with God and living the carnal reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system. On the negative side, your royal ambassadorship cannot function when you are living out of fellowship with God, living the carnal reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system. So this is one of the most powerful paragraphs in the Word of God and critically important for all of us. So we haven't exegeted verse 21 yet. That's the last verse. We will next week. Verses 17 to 20 sound like this. Therefore, if anyone is en Christo, in Christ, current positional truth as a result of faith in Christ and the baptism of the Spirit, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us, the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. Therefore, now we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us, the convicting ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So we request on behalf of Christ as his ambassador, be reconciled to God. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God, the Holy Spirit, challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.